y'all. We are back. I am India.
And I am Tommy.
What's up, y'all? We have another amazing episode of the Run Duo for y'all today. And if anything else, we have an amazing guest that we're going to be talking to. I'm going to say a couple of accolades for it. I'm pretty sure majority of our listeners know who we're talking about. But former professional volleyball player, mindset coach, personal trainer, wellness entrepreneur, marathoner, runner, sister, daughter, all of those good things. And I can't finish the list without saying ultra marathoner and so many more things. We definitely want to welcome Kayla Jeter to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be a good chat, so I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. We are so excited to have you here on the podcast. Now, of course, Kayla, we spoke with you. And for our listeners that may not know Kayla Jeter, we spoke with Kayla on our episode 119 when we did the Lululemon 10K live episode. We did the live episode before the 10K race that was here in Atlanta. So Kayla, of course, with some of her other ambassador friends were a part of that episode, but you all were able to hear Kayla's voice. And I think we definitely said that we wanted Kayla to come onto the podcast because there's so much more to Kayla than just that nugget of Lululemon as an ambassador, even though that is really doing a lot and fueling her life right now. But she is a lot more than just that and what made her to get to that point. So Kayla, we're excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't believe how much time and life has passed. So this is a good one.
I was looking at pictures the other day from that Lululemon weekend, and I was like, was that like two, three years ago? I was like, damn, like, I feel like it was yesterday, right? Like, I remember the moments, but I don't, like, didn't recognize that it was literally a couple years ago. So anyway, but that's neither here nor there. So Kayla, before we dive in, can you tell us, like, in this moment, how you're feeling?
Oh, like, just calm and steady. I still think I'm in this ultra fog. So I'm just like, just still, which is a rare moment for me.
Yes. Yes. Okay. That makes sense. I get it. I'm excited. I think the scheduling of this podcast was perfect. I know I was like, let's try to get you before you do further. And then I was like, maybe after further, because let's talk about further. And we'll talk about, for our listeners that don't know what further is, we're going to talk about that. Before we get into that, Kayla, tell us where this journey started. As I mentioned in the beginning when introducing you, you were a professional volleyball player. Yeah. And then you kind of transitioned out of all that. I think when people go to your Instagram page now or your website now, or they see you, they think runner, but that's not where it all started. So tell us kind of the volleyball world and like how you transitioned into running.
Sure. So my transition to running, is definitely still an identity crisis, even though all the things I've accomplished within running. But I think because my roots and my upbringing is in volleyball, I am like a volleyball player who runs in my mind. So I played volleyball at the University of Tennessee. I played overseas in Finland. I coached at the University of Cincinnati for 2 years. And then when I moved to Chicago going on 7 years ago, I was no longer playing volleyball once I moved up here. I worked for Northwestern University, actually, and patient data. But the volleyball scene here was huge. I moved here. I didn't have a car. I was too afraid to take the bus because I'd never lived in a city with public transit before, really. So I was like, I'll do everything by foot. I took the train, the L, and that's when I got into running through this challenge called 100 Miles a Summer that I started. Mm-hmm. And walk, run, jog, now roll, because we're inclusive, even for mamas. Get to know your neighborhood and your city. And That was the beginning of running for me. And it was kind of this experience of how am I going to redefine running in a way that's enjoyable, sustainable, but also challenged me throughout the summer. So the first year of the challenge was me sprinting all the time, because coming from volleyball, all I knew was sprints. I'm doing like 5Ks on a lunch break, just coming back to work cooked, not understanding that, oh, I can like slow down. I can jog. I can take my time. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning. That was in 2018, summer of 2018. Going to 2019, the challenge grew. I think we started with 12. We grew to like maybe 80 something. And we were using MapMyRun to start. So it was very like low-key and easy. Same thing next year, just giving myself more grace. But with 2019, what was really unique about that year was that's the year my mom was passing away from cancer. So the second year of the challenge, I wasn't sure if I even wanted to host it because I just mentally wasn't there. And the way the community showed up for me, even that smaller group, is really what shifted running for me in a way that it's not about the miles, it's not about the pace, it's about the community that comes from it. And it's also during the time where I ran my first run group, Run with the Winners in Cleveland, Ohio. And I just remember running on, I think it was downtown, and having this moment. I can't even remember what song was on, but I just started bawling. And this is a time I'm showing up to this run group. They don't know me. They don't know what's going on in my life, but I have these people who are just curious to know me and be in that community really was special to me. So as the challenge has grown over the years, in 2020, everyone then experienced what I did during lockdown, being alone by themselves. I was able to provide that for them. And we've just grown over the years, starting with 12. And now last year we had over 260,000, which was a really incredible reach. And I'm looking forward to this year, not necessarily for the numbers, but how are we now going to connect people in their communities? Because that's what it's about for me. It's not about the numbers or the pace. It's like, how are we bringing people to each other?
Yeah, I think I want to say, Kayla, maybe 100 miles of summer was how I found you. I don't know how I found you. It was somewhere on Instagram or someone may have forwarded me your page. And I was like, oh, who is this? Yeah. Who is this girl?
Dude, it was crazy.
It's great. It's like a gift and a curse, right? Like, we love it because it allows you that community and finding people and connecting with people. You know, you feel like they're your best friend and you've never even met them in person. Like, it's just really, like, I love that piece of it. But of course, we know that there's other pieces that are not as great. But I try to focus on the great things that come out of social media. So, and I absolutely love it.
Hold on, before we go on, because I know y'all just chit-chatting. What is 100 miles of summer? I mean...
Yeah, let's get into it, right?
I feel like the dude, you know, standing there with his girlfriend and her friend, and you just like,
my bad, Tommy, my bad.
When we leaving?
Okay, so
tell me what 100 miles of summer is, so I understand.
Okay, so 100 miles of summer is a summer challenge, encouraging people to leverage walking, running, jogging, rolling. As a catalyst to better health and get to know their cities, get to know other people, find their communities. It starts May 1st and ends August 31st. So 4 months of 100 miles, however you need to get them.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this, because I know you said you're in Chicago, is this just a Chicago thing, or is this, you do this worldwide? Whoever can log in, they're part of it.
So the challenge is entirely virtual. Historically, it's been on MapMyRun, it's been on NRC, it was on Strava. We're playing with some new options this year as far as where it's going to live, but it's entirely virtual. And then this year is the first year. Well, we had some in-person meetups last year, but this will be the first year that we actually also activate other city leads so people can find their 100 mile summer community actually within their city.
There you go. I got another question for you because you're in Chicago. Do you run outside in the winter in Chicago?
Okay. So I'll say it this way. Last year, when I was training for the London Marathon, my first marathon, I started to run outside in the wintertime and I felt very proud of myself for being a wintertime runner. And you figure out what to wear appropriate. I ran in like 8-degree weather. Couldn't go super far for super long because your body just starts to lock up after a while. So I do run in the cold weather. However, my oldest sister lives in LA. And this year when I was training for Further, I flew out to LA just about every other week. Because I'm getting old. I talked about how I pulled my back reaching for a charger. I can't run outside in the cold. It's not for me. Yeah. I'll do it, but I prefer warmer temperatures.
Not exactly.
Chicago's a great city. Myself and India, we did our first world majors was Chicago. I love the city. It's a great place to run, but yeah. I was just wondering if you could deal, because during the summer, it's great, but in the winter, I'm sure it's not the greatest place in the world to be.
No. Listen, when it was, I think, we talked about this, I think, on our last episodes. It was like 18 degrees here, and I did a 5K here in Atlanta. And 18, I was like, I don't know how people do it. Like, I know that it can be done, but the 18 degrees was blistering. So I can only imagine like 8. Like, typically here in Atlanta, 30, we're like, okay, 30 is like, you know, 30 is doable. But listen, getting in the teens and the single digits, child, that's a whole nother life.
Don't be fooled. It's it's not enjoyable. I don't care how people make it look on Instagram with their frozen eyelashes. And like, it is not, no. If Instagram wasn't around.
The beard, like listen, you look cool, but child, I know that you cannot. Like,
there's a lot of things I believe. If Instagram wasn't around or social media wasn't around, a lot of people would not be doing a lot of things. And that includes running in freezing temperatures.
Yes. Say that exactly. Again. That could preach exactly. It to the back, the people in the back. No, I totally get it. So, well, thank you, Kayla, for explaining that to Tommy. Sorry, my bad. We were just like, if you don't know what it is, you need to Google it. Where you been, Tommy?
Let me go anyway. Get another drink. Bye. Bye.
No, but Kayla, you talked about obviously your volleyball experience. So So for me, growing up as doing cheerleading and dance, like in a lot of distance runners, I think Tommy, you were kind of in the same boat. Like running wasn't something that we loved when we were younger. Sure. And in the sports that we did, running was more of a punishment and not a requirement for it. And so it was something that you just kind of had a salty taste about. When it came to volleyball, I'm not familiar with the sport as much. So did you have to do running within that? So when you started running, was it something that was familiar to you or something that you really had to like develop an appetite for?
Totally had to develop an appetite for it. So volleyball, The court's 30 feet. And The most running we did at any distance was summer training on a football field, so 100 yards. And So transitioning into one, running casually, two, running socially and understanding that means at a conversational pace, at a leisure pace, at knowing you can stop. I remember one of my first runs with 7 on Sundays, Black Run Crew here in Chicago on the South Side. They were the first run crew that I ran with here in Chicago. And they have this awesome workout on Tuesdays called Blue Bridge Tuesdays. So we're just ripping up and over this bridge, 10 laps, which definitely fed into my volleyball performance speed side. But then they do 7 a.m. runs on Sundays. And I remember one of my first long runs with them. It was a 7-mile run. And I was just in conversation the whole time. I didn't even realize I had ran that far. And ever since I ran with Gabe, who's part of the crew still, ever since that day, I have become the person now. If you're next to me on a run, we're chatting or you're listening the entire time. Either way, my mouth is moving, you know? And so it was definitely, it's taken years to understand what it means for me and rewrite the relationship of it for me, which is why I took, I think, I don't want to say longer, but I took my time getting into racing, whether that's half marathon or a marathon, living in a city where Chicago Marathon is every year, world major, so much excitement every summer. I didn't take a bite of the apple, not even Chicago, but in the marathon world until I was ready. And it was the best decision I could have made for my relationship with running.
Yeah. I think that people sometimes get it confused. Like you can be a runner and not do races, right? Totally. Like I think that, you know, that is I think that's like a little piece of running that people kind of forget sometimes. Like I think as soon as you say that you're a runner, you're like, oh, what race have you done? And it's just like, I just run. I just like to run. I'm not, you know, some people are like, I'm not spending the money to run on these streets that I run on every day. Like I'm not doing that.
No, it's a low barrier of entry sport, but it's not a cheap sport to participate in, especially at any level.
Just buy a pair of shoes and go, like, girl, that is not the truth.
That's not how it works. Not if you want to feel good.
No, that is not the truth. So, of course, since you had that transition from volleyball into running, at what point do you remember the moment that you considered yourself a runner? Did you have a mental transition in your mind to say, you know what, I'm a runner?
I think when I was training for my first marathon, because for me, it was a complete lifestyle change. And it actually wasn't even this last one. I had considered running a marathon two falls ago. And halfway through it, I was like, this is trash. I'm done. Like, I almost threw my shoes into the lake. Like, I was so, I was like, I'm trying to hang out with my friends. This is taking all my time. I'm doing this alone, which I still train alone for the most part, but my relationship has changed with it. But I remember when I was training for London Marathon, I was like, okay, if we're going to really do this, we're going to really step into what it means and not only take care of my body, but also engage some of the content, do some of the research, like really train in a way, even shifting my training. Like I come for performance training where we're flipping tires and doing Vertimax jump and just way more explosive stuff. Like my whole training style completely shifted. And it's interesting because before London Marathon, I'd done a half marathon, which is what actually led me to do London. I ran Hood to Coast. I've done the Speed Project.
And so
it wasn't really until London that I was like, oh, we're committing to the lifestyle of it. And really, and for me, like being a runner by title and by name is respecting the sport, the skill, and the history of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, I'm raising my hand again. You did the Speed Project, but didn't think you were a runner?
What? I just...
They only let runners in the Speed Project first. Let's start with that.
Listen, they be like, I need a whole resume.
They serious. They don't just let you walk up.
You do in a week. Like, if you're not talking about weeks,
Well, let me ask you this, because you said a little something about, you know, hanging out with your friends. Because I know, you know, for me, training for a marathon, by the time I was training for a marathon, most of my group was runners in the first place. So I didn't have like a party group. And then all of a sudden I started to run a marathon. So when you decide to run a marathon, like your friends that didn't run, did they really like understand like, hey, I can't do this on Friday because I got a long run Saturday morning? Like, did they?
I mean, like if I could tell that to my friends, that'd be great. But I have to tell that to my sisters who definitely don't understand. So I have two sisters that live in Chicago and they're like, why can't you join us for dinner on Friday? Why do you have to get up early on Saturday? Like, why are we on vacation and you can't enjoy because you have to go do X, Y, and Z? And so it was a lifestyle shift. And for me, getting ready to run a marathon was lifestyle and respecting it, but also like mindset of how I'm going to approach it. And making changes, like I do all my long runs, especially now continued on Fridays. I work a non-traditional schedule. So Friday mornings for me, it's a work day for the week. It's also my long run day because Saturday morning, I enjoy things going to like the farmer's market because my group of friends don't run. So I have to like, there was one run, my last run before London, my sisters joined me. My younger sister got on rollerblades and my older sister was on my electric bike. We had like snacks and water and everything on the side. Like we cracked like liquid death at the top. Like we had to make it like, way more social and fun, but it's finding the balance. And to be honest, when I played volleyball, I was very similar. Like I had my teammates, I hung out with my teammates, but I also had a separate group of friends. And I think that's just how I've always been as an athlete. Like I can tap in and be with my people, but I do need to balance it on the other side.
I'm just thinking about like those separate group of friends, because it is a transition. Because I feel like for me and you, Tommy, a lot of our friends are also in the running community, right? So it's like, we understand, like we're not doing this tonight, but I do have some friends that are not, you know, a couple that are not in the running community. And it is definitely you in explaining mode, you're in like, they feel like you just throwing excuses. And it's like, okay, well, when you wake up in the morning, I would have ran 10 miles. So let's talk about that, you know?
But like, that's why I think social media for me has been really great, because I've been storytelling a lot of this lifestyle, this transition, how I go about it. And so when they meet me, they're like, oh yeah, well, I know you have a long run in the morning, or I know you had this hard workout today, or I know you have this race coming up. And further, especially for my sisters, I think was the first time it really clicked for them. Because
the work.
I think when people see me, they see I'm an athletic person. I've always been super active, even after I was done playing. So of course I should be able to run a marathon. Like, how much training do you really need? Like, you are active, you work out. And I'm like, if you only knew what this heart rate looked like.
If you only knew, right. Yeah. But I think that, you know what, honestly, I think, so you mentioned the volleyball and the different exercises and workouts that you had to do for training as a volleyball player. I think that though the things that you're doing there, like the weightlifting and the strength training and stuff that you do that you're used to doing, is the best thing as a runner. And a lot of people that come into the sport with just running background and just love running, they neglect that strength training part that you do also well. So I think that the strength training part is something that really helps you do all the things that you're doing, because you are fueling all different areas. Of course, we do see you go, you know, you go to your PT, acupuncture, all of those things.
Sure.
But I just think that it is something that's benefiting you, I would think. Me on the outside looking in, like I know who you are, but like, I just feel like it's benefiting you in the process. I'm your doctor today. And I'm just telling you that it's benefiting you.
Well, I mean, you said you played for the University of Tennessee. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you play for a D1 school. So I'm sure you guys had great trainers and things like that. So I'm sure you're used to taking care of your body. So that definitely, that's something that somebody who's not been in that world might not know how to do, or go to trainers or go get PT and all that good stuff. Now, London is your first marathon?
Yes.
All right. You ain't got to tell me how. Just tell me. You had a hookup, right? You had a hookup, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm over here throwing straight shade because I am very upset that your first marathon is London, a world. I mean, one that I'm just going to say I've tried many times to get into and could not, but that's okay. It's okay.
Okay. Let me add a little salt to the wound, Tommy, for you, okay? Uh-huh. So London as the first, Berlin as the second, and New York City as the third.
Hang up.
Beep, 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 beep. We disconnected.
Y'all, okay. Listen, let me plead my case. Let me plead my case. I am going to acknowledge and call out and identify that my running resume is one of a lot of privilege and opportunity. I definitely will acknowledge that. And I feel very, very grateful for it. In doing Hood to Coast twice, in doing Speed Project, I did all three of those with Lululemon and had the opportunity to be part of some big brand moments. London Marathon came about, even the option of London Marathon came about after I ran Toronto Half Marathon. And after finishing that race, I felt like I could keep going. And earlier this summer, I'd done my first in-person half marathon and felt like I was going to pass out immediately. I had uncles on my back like, come on, sis, you got it. And I was like, sir, I swear, I'm not real. I was like, but after that, that was a Bridge the Gap event, where Bridge the Gap is where crews from all over the world support each other and have these moments of celebration, depending on what city that it's in. Started in New York and London. And Run Crew founder in London, Rundem, was there. And then we met again in New York City. He's also a Lululemon ambassador. And so there's a group of us that were New York City Marathon, helping out a No Name program, cheering on everyone that was there at different mile markers. And he texts me after New York City and he goes, I'm assembling the Black Avengers. Do you want to run London Marathon? And I was like, I don't know if I'll be ready. He's like, it doesn't matter. You'll be ready. And I was like, okay. I'm running a marathon, you know, like, I guess, but it's something I wouldn't have even said yes to if I hadn't had the experience of success in running a half just a few months earlier. Like, I'm not a person, I have gone through enough in my life and struggled through enough in my life that I'm not going to struggle through something I don't enjoy. Like, I'm not going to drag myself through it to say I did it, because I don't come from running. I don't understand what the world majors are. I don't get how big of a deal it is. But for me, I love to travel. London was my first international solo travel city. And I had the opportunity to run a marathon in a city that I really, really enjoyed. So it kind of all just worked out. And then Berlin, I did a fundraiser for St. Jude. And then New York City, my family's from Queens. So that was like more of a homecoming for me than Chicago. I haven't run Chicago though. But
Are you saving Chicago? Are you saving Chicago for like the last? Because you live there, or is it just, you just haven't done it? In my mind, I thought that you would have done Chicago first, but that's just because that's just.
So I love to cheer Chicago. Like, I am, before I got into the running of them, I love to cheer. Like, genuinely wake up early, can't sleep the night before, go to bed exhausted.
It's
like
exciting. It's a job.
It is.
Girl. I take it very seriously, like very seriously. And for Chicago, I think it's a city, it's either going to be my last one, or if and when I move away, it's a city I'd come back and do. Because I run Chicago every day, you know?
I got it. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, I live in Atlanta and I'm born and raised in Atlanta, but I refuse to do a marathon here. So some people probably think that I'm crazy, but I just refuse to do a marathon here. And I'm like, it's just not gonna happen, you know. No. It is what it is.
Yes, Atlanta's rough. Even for AT aliens, we still think it's rough. Doing it here. So what was your experience at London? How was it? I mean, of course it's your first marathon, but lucky for you, that was your second international run, because you guess you did Toronto half. So I guess it was your second international.
Sure. So, Toronto doesn't really count.
I've been running since I was 20 and I still haven't done internet. Okay. All right. But how was it? How was London as a city?
London was incredible. I think the course, it's I say it's like a journey from the Shire to the city. Like, you start out in like just like suburbs of London, which is giving every bit of Harry Potter, as you can imagine. Mm. And the whole course is barricaded, which is actually quite nice that you're able to just run and move through it. There is some elevation change, nothing crazy, a little bit of out and back at some points, nothing too, too overwhelming, but you go over like London Bridge, you get to come down and you finish right at, I'm blanking on the name of it.
It's okay.
Castle, Queen, all that.
Okay.
Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you finish. It was everything I hoped it to be weather-wise. It was overcast, a little sprinkle of rain, not too hot, had a great time, smiled a ton, felt strong afterward. Since I started even racing, when I started doing halves, and even honestly, during even challenging training runs, my goal is always to finish with a smile, uninjured, like, and to run strong. Like, I just want to run strong. Like, pace for me, I don't really care because I don't have a comparison. I also know this isn't my world and I'm just getting started. So for me to go in and be like, I want to run sub four. And I'm like, I just want to finish without my heart jumping out of my chest and not me passing out. Like, that's a win.
Yeah.
Huge win.
Enjoy the finish. Yeah.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. And so London was an incredible experience. The energy was great. And yeah, it's, you know, it's my first marathon. So although there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Was there anything that you felt like you learned through, I guess, the training buildup? So even though you did Hood to Coast, the Speed Project and all those, it doesn't, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't sound like you did like full training for those. It was just kind of like, I mean, I've been running, so we're going to figure this thing out. But as far as official, training, it sounds like it wasn't until the London buildup. What did you learn about yourself like through the London buildup of training?
Yeah, you actually hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly why I didn't consider myself a runner during those other things. Because, like, I didn't do a training block. Like, I was just like, we'll just see. What I learned most about running, and especially at longer distances with London, is that running is a sport. And I say that because I think a lot of people get into marathons and longer distances and running in general. But if you get into where you're concerned more about pace and performance, that you forget that it's a sport and it's a skill. There's skills that need to be learned. There's adaptations that are going to happen. There's breakdowns that you have to account for, and you have to really respect the sport and your body throughout the sport. And so a big focus for me was the recovery side of things, understanding like, okay, I'm pushing my body through new stressors that it's not used to physiologically impact mentally. I need to really make sure that I protect the time around it to take care of myself. And I trained a lot alone for London, but that was a good thing for me. And that was kind of the nice thing about running throughout the winter time, because I got to just have my own experience through the training block and get to know myself as a runner throughout it. I just really think people forget that running is hard on your body. You know, every step is 3 to 5 times your body weight on your joints. And I know a lot of people use running to get in shape, but you have to be in shape to run, especially at those longer distances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. That's so, so true. I think the portion of like training, I trained a marathon with teams and with people, and every long run was with groups of people and every meetup during the week. And then I've trained for marathons by myself. It puts you in a totally different mindset and it helps you to respect the distance. It helps to really tap into who you are. And it's just a different feeling too. I feel like when you actually go out to run, cause you're like, you know what? I did these weeks all by myself. I did these weeks all by myself. And we know that on marathon day, you're the only one that can get you to the finish line, right? Like one foot in front of the other for you. So
that's exactly what I was going to say. I think training groups are amazing. I think they're a great way to push you. They hold you accountable, great energy. But come race day, it's just you. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't had those experiences, like how you're going to dig yourself out of a tough hole, or how you're going to speak to yourself when things get challenging, or how you're going to pace yourself even through it, like race day can be a really jarring experience, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Did you put together your own program? Did you have someone give you a program? What was your training block like?
I 100% worked with a coach. I coming from volleyball world, getting to running, coming from a world where every day I walked into a weight room and had what I was supposed to do on the board. I knew, especially, and that started with Speed Project, that if I was going to do this the right way, I definitely needed to work with, and coaching was programming. It wasn't necessarily like run skill. It was like, hey, we're going to put this structure together, but we're going to do it in a way that excites me. So coming from a performance, fast switch, explosive sport, going for like 90 minutes, a 90 minute run with some striders in there. I'm like, what are we even talking about? I don't understand the language. And 90 minutes sounds challenging. So we would do a lot of like gamifying within my runs. Like there would be like sprint workouts within my run. We would like do blocks of like cut downs for one, break in the center, then cut down again. So we definitely added some elements of my world into the distance world.
That makes sense. And like you said, to keep you excited and keep you engaged and do some things that you actually love to do. Cause it's like throwing you in there when you're like, this is already not my area, could be very overwhelming. Cause we know that marathon training, I personally say it's a full-time job. Like it's a whole nother job that you have to kind of do. And what I mean by that is there's the schedule, the recovery, the warm-ups, the workouts, the eating, the sleeping, the hydration, the nutrition part of it. Like it is a lot of things that need to be nailed down so that you can have an effective training block, injury-free, and also execute on race day. So yeah, that totally makes sense. So go ahead, Tommy.
No, I was just going to kind of transition from London to, so was Berlin the same year or was this, so, okay, so Berlin the same, so.
And New York.
And New York, okay, I'm.
Okay, again, let me put my case. So, I also,
look at 2023.
2023, I turned 33.
For those that are listening, Tommy just got up and took his earphones out. He is walking away from the mic.
Fair. Go I understand on, okay. some people.
Kayla.
We're joking with you, Kayla.
I'm just playing.
But like, I get it. I understand that, again, I am in a very privileged position to have the experience I have. I understand that people work and wait and wait their whole lives to have the experience I had in 1 year. That being said, I turned 33 last year and I was like, let's just make my life an ESPN special. 3 for 33. Like if I'm going to do this, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to just train for a year. Like we're just going to like go in. Cause I don't know on the other side if I'm going to do this again. So like, let's check all the boxes. Yeah.
Like there are opportunities that you can't like say no to. It's very hard to. Yeah. I get it.
So you London, Berlin, New York. So let's just talk about that. So like you said, you're just going to train for a year. So did your coach just kind of have you, because you got to have rest after you run a marathon. I mean, you can't go right back to training. So how did your coach work that with three marathons?
So with London being in April, we did, and end of April, we deloaded in May and kind of, but not all the way to zero. Like we kept my mileage pretty low, but I mean, I was still doing like 6-7 mile runs as my longer runs.
Mm-hmm. Good base.
And then, yeah, exactly. So London was like the first tester. Berlin was really the race of the year, like the marquee race. And then New York was just the party. And we, you know, the space between London and Berlin was enough to come down and build back up. And I just trained better in the summertime already. And I'm an early riser. So naturally that was a better race for me. And New York was kind of just like survive in advance because it was so close. And like, and I went into it. I was like, look, if I have to walk, I have to walk. Like I stopped for 10 minutes waiting to see my family. Like I definitely approached it, I think, the way I should have. But again, like that's why everything around the run is so much more important. The way, like you were saying, India, the way, like how I'm sleeping, what I'm eating, how I'm training, how I'm recovering, like those things, my lifestyle stress and how I'm managing that. I'm, again, privileged position, no kids, no pets. I'm entrepreneur. So like I control my stress and my daily experience. And all of those things kept me pretty steady and stable and strong to move through them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And I mean, I just want to say congratulations. That's great. I'm really just playing, but
I know.
Might not. If my girlfriend Heather hears this, she's going to be pissed because she has applied for all these and she'd be like, How am I not getting in?
I will say this. It was not an influencer thing because some people were like, oh, it's because you have a following. I was like, no, I had a connect in London. I fundraised for Berlin. And then I just have a connect in New York. It's all about who, it really is about who you know.
It really is. It really is.
I mean, I'm trying to act like we didn't have a connect for New York.
Yeah, we had a connect in New York too.
We had a connect for New York. So we ran New York in 2022 and we kept it on the low. We still don't know who that connect was.
Yeah,
but we definitely had a connect for New York because it is hard to get in.
It's hard to get in.
Unfortunately, a lot of times it is who you know. And if you know someone that lives in the country, lives there or in the state, it is a lot easier too. So
yeah.
We ain't mad at you, girl, because it just kind of is what it is.
And you said it perfectly. I mean, I'm mad again that you only 33 and I'm old, but
I gotta get it while these knees are ready.
But you said it correctly. Hey, let me get it now because I don't know, you know. So I definitely appreciate that. That's just great. I'm glad.
And
just to kind of confirm. Between London and Berlin, what did you think as far as the actual courses, the races?
Everyone talks about Berlin being a fast course. It definitely is. Mm-hmm. It's super easy to navigate.
You can definitely tell the difference. Yeah.
I mean, race day logistics are super easy for both. London has some uphill, downhill, a little bit of, like everyone says rolling hills. No, people say London is flat. That's not true. Chicago's flat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. London has some rolling hills, nothing like New York, but definitely has a little I got a little pickup right there. Mm-hmm. Berlin, super fast and smooth. Yeah. And then New York is, y'all know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Y'all know. New York is New Yorkin.
Well, and I mean, probably with your hookup, you didn't probably have to wait in that parking lot for, 6 hours before the race. You probably was with the elites when you took off.
I wasn't with the elites. Could you imagine? If I was with the elites, I would have turned around and just had my hands out. I was like, you know what? Everyone just go.
For Kayla.
I got it.
Well, you know, in New York. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I did. He's like, I need to know because I already know.
I know you didn't sit in that parking lot. I know you did.
I
had
did not
tent,
take the ferry.
Tent. Yeah.
I was in the tent. I was. Yeah.
Eggs Benedict, mimosas probably.
No, I wish. No, it was a ton of bagels and coffee. Like it was bagels and coffee. Part. Just bagels and coffee.
Ducking on the cat. That's it.
Yeah. But the weather was nice this year for New York. So I waited outside, out of time.
We got that half hookup, Tommy. We didn't get those amenities.
Yeah.
We got the entry.
I sat on a hard parking lot for I don't know how many hours.
Listen, we was out the last door guy. Preparing to run for 8 hours before the race even started.
Right?
Yes, it was crazy. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, that's all good.
But that's great. Yeah, yeah.
So, Kayla, we have teased, or not even teased, but we have mentioned you doing Further, which is the ultra marathon that took place, and it was sponsored and put on by Lululemon. Tell us at what point, since we were just talking about your New York, London, and Berlin, at what point did you learn or was invited? What point of 2023 were you invited and saying, hey, we would like you to be a part of Further? What point of that timeline did that start? So that I'm just trying to think about your mindset of, okay, I got these other marathons going on this year.
Yeah.
And now you're inviting me to do this other amazing experience that's happening in 2024.
Yeah. So the marathons were kind of training runs. Little did I know the conversation for Further. I believe February, March. No, like January, February. So early 2023.
Oh, 2023. Okay.
Yeah, early 2023. So my races were already locked in for the most part. And that being said, Further, when it was first presented to myself and the other athletes, was not 6 days. It was not 6 days. It was originally shared, and I don't know if I should be sharing this, but it's fine. It was originally supposed to be 24 hours. And so how it grew was, as the deeper they got into the research and into the product space, they realized how much of a lack there was in both of those spaces. And if we really want to see what human possibility looks like, how we can, push women, support women, see how far women to go, like let's stretch it out. And the 6 days is a historical amount. And right now they just were like, hey, like, let's just see what you women can do for 6 days if we give you all the things we think you need, and we do this together.
Wow. So that happened January, February of 2023. You kind of knew that you had these three marathons on your docket. Was further like in the back of your mind the whole time through these marathons? Or do you feel like you did well with staying in the moment?
Yeah, yes and no, because I didn't treat each one like a check off the list, but I couldn't get to the next level without getting through the first one. So I can't get to Berlin unless I get through London. I can't get to New York unless I get through Berlin. I can't get to further unless I get through New York, Berlin, and London. Mm-hmm. And again, which is why taking care of my body, sleeping well, eating well, strength training, recovery was so important, because if I want to get here, I have to make sure I'm taking care of my body every single step of the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also I had no concept what an ultra did. 6 days? What?
Girl, let me tell you, an ultra is 26.3 miles. Anything over 26.2 is an ultra, but y'all did ultra.
Dude, even for further, I couldn't think about 6 days. You know what I mean? It's so hard to fathom. 6 days, 144 hours. How do you mentally wrap your mind around? You can't. Like, you have to be present exactly, not only the day that you're in or the hour that you're in, but the lap that you're in.
Yeah. So tell our audience really quickly, like, explain what further is. Like, what was it, or what was it, how was it pitched, and what was it in a nutshell?
So further is Lululemon's feat. It was an exploration of human possibilities, what we call it. Essentially, is there's a huge gap in product innovation and exercise physiology research and how women perform in the ultra space. And what that means is how women train, recover, fuel, injury prevention. When you look at the majority of research in exercise physiology, it's predominantly males, and it's predominantly white males. And so what they realized as they got into the research was like, oh, there's not only a gap, but missing data on how women perform and why they're getting faster as they're getting older. What does recovery look like? How do we actually support female athletes in the ultra endurance space? So Lululemon partnered with the Canadian Sports Institute Pacific to kind of like get this research project up and running. Like, okay, we're going to have 10 women from all over the world, all different ages and experiences, from the woman who holds now the 144 hour record to a woman who ran her first 5K last spring, all in the same course. And let's see, you know, if we give women the same opportunities, the same support, we really explore what it means to be a woman in this space. What can women do? And I think the thing people know mostly to this project or this feat is breaking two. Like, can the 2 hour marathon be broken? And they were provided with all the resources and everything they potentially need. And but that same opportunity wasn't given to women. So that was what the feat was. And it was a 6 day race, 144 hours. Each athlete set their own distance. They worked with their own team, but we had the merging of product innovation and development. We had nutrition, and we had sports science and like research there as well, and throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. And it looked pretty cool. Like, it looked like, so it took place in California. What part was it?
It was in Lake Cahuilla, so Palm Springs.
Okay. Yeah. So it looked really nice. And it was a 2.5 mile loop, correct? That you all were looping around until you couldn't loop no more every day.
2.56 miles.
Okay.
You like point.
Yes, give us that. It's like that point two at the end of the marathon. You can give me that point two. Because that point two is what I feel like my body is just about to give.
I get it.
So I know for me, Tommy and I were talking about this before we started recording this episode, is like, I'm not a loop person. Like, I don't love running miles on the track, but you know, I think everybody's mind is different. We know people that run miles and miles and miles on a track and they absolutely love it. How was the loop for you? Like, how did you, I guess, get through that? Or what was that challenging for you? Would you have rather like an out and back situation that was more like scenic per se? I mean, it looked like y'all did have some really nice views, but how was the loop portion for you?
So I think someone that comes from the research background, so when I worked at Northwestern Medical, I was in like patient research and data, the control of the group made sense to me. I was like, okay, if we're going to be doing research things, we need to have the same point where we come through, they can check us, do all of the researchy things. From a safety standpoint, it made sense to make sure everyone's doing okay because we're at different paces and have different goals. But from an athlete and mindset standpoint, for me, initially I was like, Like, also, why not bigger? You know what I mean? Like, let's do like a 5-mile. Right. Like, let's
exactly.
really
exactly
let's really mm-hmm. switch it up. Let's really keep it interesting. But when we were out, we did a training camp in Whistler at the end of September, beginning of October. We practiced on a 1-mile loop, and I have to say, when you're going into something that is that long, the less you can think, the better.
Mm. Yeah.
Being able to like wake up and know like that is the situation, like you're able to disassociate a little bit more because you don't have to think about turns and curves and different, like there were some terrain changes on the course, but you're not like foraging to find your way. And I will say, I mean, the time it took me to do a lap in day one got way longer in day, you know, 4 or 5. And if that course was 6 miles, that could have taken some time and it could have been a concern. You know, as far as like a fueling goes, like my crew checking in on me. So it created the opportunity just to disengage, but also feel safer while you're doing something like that.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. And I don't think I thought about it like that. And if something was to, and I'm glad nothing happened to you while you were doing it or any of the participants, but, or that was publicized, but like your crew being able to get to you 2 miles out or a mile out, you know, I know y'all had go karts and all that stuff, but it would just be a lot easier if you, than you being 5 miles out and like, girl, where she at? We got to find her. So
seriously. And they could also see us across the way too, right? Like, so we're in the desert. So like, there was nothing on this course for us. I mean, it's a lake. So, but like they could see if something happened, they're like, oh, I know that person's not there anymore. So
Yeah, no, that definitely made sense. Now, I know that some people were asking kind of, so spectating, it really wasn't like a spectating type situation. It did seem like the last couple days, there were more people that came in to kind of cheer you all on. And it looks like they were a lot more ambassadors and people that were already connected with Lululemon. How was that for you? Because I would think that, you know, having the crowd support would really help you to push. But what did that look like, the support?
Oh my gosh, it was so needed and so special because it was just fresh energy, especially you think like day one, we're starting high vibes the first day, everyone's super excited. Day two, we're kind of just like figuring it out really in it. And then day three is when the ambassador specifically arrived, and just to see how excited they were and receive their energy was really a time to uplift us. And although the event was closed, and I think it was more so because they didn't know what we would want, right? Like there's out of the 10 of us, there's 4 athletes who are professional ultra and trail runners, and that's not a spectating sport. I think for them, they were just like, the events team wasn't sure. They're like, hey, we don't want to turn this into like a fan situation and someone's going through something tough and like, we can't control who's there. Like we want to make sure it feels like a safe environment for everybody, which I appreciate because there was times where like the energy and the vibes and the celebration was great. And then there was times where I was like, yo, if one more person says I'm inspiring or this is motivating, like I'm exhausted. My feet hurt. Like we're on the yard again. You know what I mean? Right. Like sometimes it felt like that.
Yeah.
It felt like that. So, but it was definitely something that could not have happened without other people there. Like it would have been a completely different experience.
Yeah. And I loved how you had a crew, just like when you have ultra marathoners, they have like a crew. Something that I love seeing you with your journey is having your sisters there. Like, tell me how that was, like to be able to have your sisters. Like, I know that y'all give best friend vibes. Like y'all seem to be very, very close, which I love, but it just seemed like it was probably extra special to have them there and them to see you in your rawest form of this is exciting. I'm excited, but now this shit is getting real and I don't know what I'm gonna do in the next 10 minutes.
All of that. It was, it was a journey for me as well. Right. Because when we were selecting our crew, I had to ask people to take time away from their life to come support me. And as someone that's a caregiver and always checking on other people, even asking people to support me was a new thing. Like, hey, would you mind being part of this? Like, I'm going to run out around in a circle for 6 days. Like, even if you have a day, I'd love for you to be there. They're like, duh, we're going to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then for them seeing me in my element and perform in a way they haven't seen, because they've only seen marathon moments where it's like these high vibe moments. And then I'm like, at the end, you know, like they had to go on that journey with me and learn how to, yes, be my sisters, but also be my teammates. So we had a come to Jesus moment before we even started a separate sisters call where I was like, hey, I love y'all. You're my sisters, but there's a few things we can't have. I can't have you guys babying me and be concerned about me. I need you guys to be my sisters. If I'm crying, you cannot cry. Like, this is my time to cry. You take it outside. And if I snap at you, nothing back. Like, I'm running for 6 days. Like, that's just what it is. And I definitely feel very proud of them. They definitely shared it was more than they anticipated going in. And it was just a really sweet moment. You know, my one sister, who she's the second oldest, she lives here in Chicago also, like my 100 miles of summer challenge, they do it every year. My older sister wins every year. It's like a sister's competition. And at the end of further, she pulled me over to the side. She was like, hey, Kayla, like, I'm really going to try with 100 miles of summer this year. Like, you inspired me that I can like actually just walk, run it. I can figure it out and I can push further. And I was just like, you're going to do me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. A whole situation, a whole moment. Like, that's beautiful. So, I mean, I think that something, and this is just a shameless thing for me, but like for me, I think about when you go into these moments and situations and experiences like this, it's the duality of being so excited because you have accomplished something that you have never accomplished before, but being beyond exhausted, your body's aching, everything is going on. You're probably delusional because you're exhausted, you're tired, not getting the full amount of rest that you probably want because you have this goal. And being able to kind of be in those two emotions at the same time, sometimes can be very difficult for us.
Sure.
And I know you mentioned the first day was exciting. You were super excited about it. You were like, let's go. Like, you tried like the first mile, let's get it. And then once you got to, I guess, tell me at what point, at what day do you feel like the energy dropped? And I was like, you were probably like, okay, maybe I need to reconsider my goal or maybe I need to really dial back. What was that like?
No, what was the day that you said, what in the hell am I doing? What? Am I doing?
I'm gonna keep it real. This is a safe space, and I'm not afraid to say this to anybody.
Yeah.
So whoever listens, just receive it as it is. I explain further as like peak white people shit. Like peak.
Okay. Yeah. Like, Facts.
Like, my people already did this coming from the South. Like, we already did the 6 days plus. You know what I mean? Like.
Like,
so I'm gonna keep it all the way real, but I do just want to explain time on the course. So 24 hours on the course is start time on the first day to the start time the next day. So it was 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then when daylight savings time hit, it was like 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. And I say that just because the way I talk about days is not traditional 12-hour days or 24-hour days as we know them. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday morning was the end of day three and the beginning of day four. And so this is the day after the ambassadors leave. And that's an important distinction of time and when, because that's when everyone was like, we're over it. We're tired. Morale was low. The other side of the course where our people weren't could have been puddles of tears. And for me, I remember the morning I woke up, I'd wake up every morning, 4:45, 5 o'clock, out by 5:15, because I'm a morning runner. And I also wanted to get the most laps I could before the sun came up.
Right.
And I remember waking up, Chris Newley from my crew would take me to the start line, because it wasn't like where we started. We actually had like an official start that had a tracker for us, because we wore trackers on our shoes. And he would give me a hug, hand me my protein shake as part of like my nutrition and hydration for the morning. I would start every lap as a walk, or at least half a walk, just to warm up. And I remember being 15 minutes into that walk and just start crying. And I'm just like, why are we crying? Mm-hmm. And a few things were going on. It was like, one, my feet swelled to a point I could have never expected. My anterior tib, so that front tendon of your ankle, was so inflamed that I could barely run. So I did a lot of walk running. And after about 72 hours, your central nervous system kind of just like crashes. So all this stress I'm putting on my body, I'm physically feeling like the emotions just boiled over, because you lose all sense of like logical reasoning. And I was experiencing that. And then as I was running, another teammate was experiencing that. And another, I was like, oh, so it's not just me. So it was really nice to know that all of us were going through it together. And then one of our teammates, Rico, she had hit her one of her furthest distance. And we all ended up on the course together that we were able to come in and celebrate her. And once that celebration happened, a few of us looked at each other like, that kind of feels like that could be it. Like, we could just... like, you know, sit down and like cheer
and be done.
Yeah. And like, we'll be fine. Like right. She's got it.
Because this is email shit. We're just going to cheer her on.
Yeah.
We believe in you. We'll find your further. One more step. Like, we were like,
it's a wrap.
Girl, all of Saturday, we plotted how we were going to end. Like, we could just, like, if we just stop, what are they going to do? Like, it was. And in those moments, you know what I mean? But like, it was a really, I think, awakening moment also for the athletes, because this was not my first Lululemon experience. This was not my first Lululemon run. So I knew at any point in time, if I felt physically, mentally, emotionally not in it, if I fell short of my goal, it didn't matter. There are no performance goals with Lululemon. It very much is like, we want you to push yourself as far as you can, get out of it what you can, make memories, make connections, like human first. But for a lot of them, it was their first time performing with Lululemon, and such a big performance at that. So we had a lot of conversations around, what does it look like to fall short of your goal? What does success look like? How do you want to feel coming out of it? Something a lot of us didn't consider. And for me, the end of Saturday, I remember my team, like, they really, Jason Suarez, you know, world-renowned sports photographer for elite professionals and crews. I was very grateful to have him in my crew, and he comes from run crew culture in New York City. So I remember coming in one of my final night laps where I was like totally over it. The music is just like jumping. Like, it feels like we're at the club, like lights are going. And I pull into the athlete pit, and there's like little shot glasses. I'm like, what is happening right now? And there's like Coca-Cola. Like, we did like Coca-Cola shots. Like, he just like brought that energy like to me. And I remember sitting at the end in my RV at the end of the night. I was like, look, team, I don't want to have another one of those days. Like, I don't, that's not why I'm here. I already know physically what I can do. I've seen my body perform at the highest level. Running for me is something enjoyable and something fun and a place where I'm getting to know myself. Let's figure out what day two looks like. And so going into Sunday, we had a few conversations, how many laps I'd have to do. And I remember Sunday morning coming into my crew, like, yeah, I'm done for the morning. Like, I'm good. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And so we went and talked about it. And one of my crew leads, Chris, was like, okay, I just want to make sure, like, this is where you are. This is how many laps you have left for your goal. How do you feel? And I was like, you know what? I want to enjoy this time with you. I don't want to remember this experience and only remember dragging myself through it to a truly arbitrary number. And so I think where we ended up having the conversation around was, you know, you have 20 miles you have to make up in the next 2 days, essentially. Like, that's what you have to get after. He's like, do you want to go after those 20 miles? Or you just want to see where you land? I was like, I just want to see where I land. And when I crossed the finish line, the difference between 234 point whatever and 250 is so small that now I'm like, oh, I could have done those 8 laps. But in that moment, I was like, girl, you can like, you can barely walk.
Yeah.
Like, excuse my language, like, I got shit to do after further. Like, I can't wait up.
Yeah. Like, 8 miles.
Girl,
8 miles fresh is very different than 8 miles after being on your, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a realization we even had as athletes when we were like, when we talked about our goals, we set it in a fresh state. We didn't think about how every day would feel. We just thought about how we felt in that moment. And so for me, what I was saying earlier, as far as like the chosen struggle that happens, especially in ultras, it's like going to this place of, you're like choosing to put yourself in the pain cave, in the dark place, so you can pull yourself out, I think is a consistent theme, autonomy. And I was talking to my crew and they were asking, you know, did you have any epiphanies out there? They say like these awakenings happening in ultras. And I was like, look, this experience did not crack me open. You know what I mean? Like pressing the incinerator on my dad's body, zipping my mom's body bag, like that shit cracks you open. Like I'm choosing to go through this and I'm not going to drag myself through it because I've already gone through and thrived through more challenging things. This should be enjoyable, challenging, but still enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. Listen, I felt like I had so many questions about further, but the way that you just explained it, it just really sealed it for me. Like, that totally makes sense. And I mean, for me and Tommy, congratulations. Like,
yes, most definitely.
I was tracking you, me and my homegirl Ayana, we were tracking you. We was like, Kayla's at so-and-so, look at her. Like, we were stalking people that we knew that were like out there with you. We was like, what they got on their story? Like, yeah. It was just like, it was a whole situation. So congratulations to you. I am super proud of you for everything that you have done in your just prior to running and running now, and just who you are as an individual and as a person. I always really look up to your transparency that you provide on social media, just because I know that it is very hard sometimes to show up. I think, you know, people see you as a motivator, a person that inspires people, but you're doing a lot of things. And I know as a person, as a human, you want to do those things, but you are still a human. So I know that you get to a point where you're like, I'm tired, y'all. But even though you are enjoying and learning those things, and I think sometimes it's hard to be transparent in those moments where you are being blessed with so many opportunities and good things, but you still say, you know what? This is the realness of it all. Because I think with social media, there's so many people that only show the highs of their experiences and their blessings and the great things they've done. And they don't show the moments when things get really tough. So thank you for that.
Yes, no, I fully received that. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, indeed. Of course. And Kayla, I mean, I've joked with you. I'm just playing. But you are about to be my hookup. So don't be mad on Instagram. Right. And I ain't going to DM you. I'm going to hit you up on your feed. Hey,
yeah, yeah.
What's up with that bid? What's up with that bid number? So don't be mad.
Which one? Let's work on
it. It wouldn't be for me. It wouldn't be for me. It would be for my partner, Heather, more than, yeah, for her, because she's only done Chicago, so she hadn't done any of the other ones. So if you got a hookup on any world major for next year.
Yeah, me and Tommy have done New York and Chicago. We've actually done Chicago a couple times. I've done it twice. Have you done it twice, Tommy?
Chicago? No, I only did it once. You did it twice.
I've done Chicago twice and obviously done New York. So, you know, that's a big deal. But it is always in our dreams. I mean, Tommy and I joke about it all the time. We're like, world majors only. Like, people just out here running marathons. Like, it's like nothing. We like, it's not in our ministry. We will only do the world majors, you know what I mean? And I still have a love-hate relationship with the world major marathons just because how it was started and like, why is this even a thing? Like, we still kind of grapple with that, but you know, it's still the fun of it and we absolutely love it. So before you go, I just want to ask one more thing. Before you go, I know you mentioned that 100 miles of summer is your baby and it's something that is definitely coming up. Something on your page that you mentioned often, and I think I hear you say often, is 1% better every day. What does that mean for you? And like, explain that to our audience.
Yeah, so it's a very common phrase now from the book Atomic Habits. I haven't read the book, but that's where a lot of people know it from. But for me, it really started with my mom when I was taking care of her when she was passing away. Like, we really strive to find just the one thing that we could find progress in for her, whether it was her able to chew her food, to sit up on her own, to like sleep through the night. And we called those when like we had a good day, like a $1 million day. So 1% better for me really is about just putting one foot in front of the other and finding some progress for yourself. It doesn't have to measure up to a big success. It could be like, I went to bed, you know, 20 minutes earlier. I remember to drink water. Just like taking care of yourself bit by bit. We all show up in so many spaces in our life that it's important that we put ourselves at the center of it first.
Makes sense. Okay. And last thing I promise is it. What's the one thing that you would like to see in the running community that you don't feel like you don't see enough of?
Ooh. I wanted it to get back to being fun. Like, and back to from someone who's just started and how quickly it's changed in the time that I've been here. You know what I
That's
mean?
Crazy
like
that you see what it is already. Cause we talked about it. All time.
Dude, like,
and the competitiveness, the shade, the competition gets real.
All of that. And like, everything doesn't have to be a thing. And I know some people might come from my neck or like roll my eyes, like behind my back or to my face. Like, the world does not need a million run clubs or a million clubs. Like, just come together and do the thing you enjoy. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And like, let that be the essence of it, because that's how run crew culture started. Mm-hmm. People coming together, helping each other out, and just loving being with their people.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That makes sense. Ooh, that could be a whole conversation right there. Just that little nugget that you just said could be a whole conversation, but we're not going to do that. Tommy, now, do you have anything? I'm done with my questions, I promise.
My last thing is, Kayla, give us all your social media so people can follow you. Yes. You know, they can see what you're doing. How can they contact you if they want to? Let them know.
Okay, so I'm at Kayla Jeter _ on all platforms. We are that all across the way, Instagram, TikTok-ish. YouTube, getting into YouTube. And then also hello@KaylaJeter.com. 100 Miles of Summer starts May 1st. So at 100 Miles of Summer on Instagram. A lot of updates and changes coming there as far as where the platform is going to be, what it's going to look like. Those are the main ones.
Yay.
Yes. Thank you so much, Kayla.
Yes, thank you so much. We'll see you. I hope to see you soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Of course.